Well, good morning once again. And our text will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. You could follow along in your bulletin or in your Bible as you prefer. I'm actually going to be reading the extended passage in the Bible, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now we find this miracle recorded 4 times in the scriptures, 1 time in each gospel. We also find it in Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, and John chapter 6. We're going to go briefly through the entire passage to get a full sense of the context of what we're going to be looking at here this morning by way of application. In verse 13, we read, when Jesus heard it. Well, when Jesus heard what? Well, that refers to what precedes it in the text. Namely, that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And so Jesus, upon receiving this terribly sad news, goes to a deserted place in the wilderness to mourn. But a multitude would follow him. His time of mourning would be cut short, as it were. And he would heal the multitude. He could do no less, for such is the compassion of the Savior. When Jesus sees you and I hurting, in need, because of his compassion, he can do nothing but meet us right there at a point of need. He doesn't leave us alone to come back at another time, but he makes himself available to us. In verse 15, notice the attitude of his followers. Now, no doubt some of these followers were those characterized by the thorny ground or the rocky ground. But nevertheless, at this point, his followers were so interested in spiritual food that they would have to be told to leave, to go eat dinner. They followed Jesus out into this deserted place, out into this wilderness, to hear what it is he had to say, to receive his ministry. And they were so concerned with that, that they weren't even thinking about where it was they were going to eat. Isn't that amazing? Is it such with you? Do you come here to a church service on Sunday morning, worried about where it is you're going to eat lunch, where your reservations are at 11:30? Or do you come to hear the Word of God? Upon which thing do you place the more importance? Now verses 16 through 18, which we're going to be looking at in much greater detail as we get to the main application part of our sermon, we find the disciples taking God out of the equation. Now in hindsight, right, we look at this and we say, all right, if we had been walking with Jesus and Jesus were incarnationally here today, and we said, okay, we're going to go walk down a social park and there's, let's say, 50 people there, and we didn't bring any food, nobody has any food with them. Wouldn't we go and say, well, Jesus, would it be possible, please, to do a miracle here and feed all these people? Look, Jesus, all these hungry people. Now, the disciples who had seen with their own eyes much greater things than this didn't do that. Isn't that amazing? But they said, send them away. Send them to Stop and Shop so they can go buy some food. And Jesus was a little bit saddened with their response, but nevertheless, it's the grace and patience of the Lord. When we come to that place where we don't have any faith, the place we so often come to, whether we want to realize or admit it or not. You see, this thing was impossible with men, but nothing is impossible with God. In verse 19, we find him commanding the multitudes to sit on the grass, and he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. He blessed and broke and distributed. Here we have a beautiful picture of the communion table, a foreshadowing of the last Passover, of the Last Supper. Now in verse 20, notice that we have here a superabundance. They end up with 12 baskets full of fragments out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, which perhaps would have fit in one basket. They came with little and left with much. When we come to Christ with even a little bit of faith, or even a little bit to offer him, we find that we leave with 12-fold blessing. And in verse 21, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So there were not only 5,000 there. We often hear this referred to as the feeding of the 5,000. But it's 5,000 not including women and children. So perhaps we had some, you know, single guys there. But presumably, most of these men would have been married with 2.3 kids. So we probably got about 15,000 to 20,000 there that day. Enough to fill a stadium, you know, like our average attendance at, I don't know what it is, what's the average attendance at Boston Garden or Fenway Park? 20,000. Okay. So picture this, that many people out in the wilderness, just to kind of get a visual. It's kind of hard to get your arms around that many people sitting on a grassy knoll, you know. But okay, let's now, without further ado, get to our main applications this morning, taken from Matthew chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. So we'll draw applications from the facts stated in the text. First, that there were only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And secondly, they were brought to Jesus. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is that with so many people? If you and I went to Fenway Park with 5 loaves and 2 fish, we wouldn't get particularly far. But yet the lad, and we know that this is a lad who presented this gift at this time from John chapter 6 verse 9, offered them up in the service of the Lord. This was lunch for he and his family and he and his friends. And he said, you know what? Peter, John, James, here, come here for a second. I think I overheard a conversation. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. I've got lunch here, or dinner here for me and my family. And, you know, why don't you take this? Why don't you take this? Put this towards the cause here. And so the disciples take it and go back to Jesus and say, here's what we got, Lord. This is it. This is it. Now, it seemed totally insignificant for the task at hand, and yet it was enough to bless thousands. Little as much when God is in it. The bread and the fish themselves were first provided by whom? There wouldn't be any bread or fish unless God Himself provided them in the first place. So God already provided the means to effect this miracle. It is said of the Son of God that by Him all things were created, through Him and for Him. Colossians 1:16, speaking of Christ Jesus, the one through whom all things were created. And He created everything out of what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not out of dust. Not out of the Big Bang cloud, but out of nothing. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. Something that only God can do. Thereby, Jesus was proving His deity to send a message to all those folks there today and all of those who read this word throughout the ages that Jesus Christ is the eternal Creator God of the universe. Now, not only does Jesus provide for us physically, but spiritually as well. The physical miracle teaches us a spiritual truth. Jesus doesn't do His miracles, as we've said before, willy-nilly, but He does them for a purpose. The multitudes came to Christ with nothing, not concerned about their physical needs, but more concerned about their spiritual needs. And yet both were met. They sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things were added unto them. They were fed as well, physically, having come for spiritual food. Let's make it personal. You live in a world full of hungry people. People starving for God's word. Back in the days when Amos lived, the prophet spoke of a spiritual drought, saying, "There is famine in the land, Amos." It's characteristic of our day as well. There is a famine of God's word out there today. People don't know the truth that God has cause to be written down for us, that we might eat, that we might drink of the fountains of the waters of God's word. A famine in the land. Share this word according to how it has been shared to you. Sow the seed according to how the seed has been sown in your heart, Christian. God has given you 5 loaves and 2 fish to go out and feed the starving multitudes. We can look at, allegorically speaking, the five loaves and the two fish as a gift set. Five natural gifts and two spiritual gifts, for instance. The natural gifts, maybe you are so well balanced, so well coordinated that you can do headstands. There's one. You got good eyesight. You may be musically inclined or artistically inclined in some way. You might be good at math. You might have a good, strong immune system. Spiritual gifts. You might have the gift of faith and the gift of mercy. Will you bring them to Jesus? Or will you keep them for yourselves, that you might be able to just feed yourself? You know, as many as 20,000 people were there. And I was thinking, was there not one other person in the crowd with even one loaf of bread stashed away so that they could feed themselves if they got hungry? Surely there must have been at least one other person out of those 20,000 who had a little bit of food stashed inside their cloak. And yet it was only this one lad who was selfless enough to go up and allow his gift to be used for the furtherance of Christ's kingdom. Surely there were several people in that crowd who took their loaves of bread and their fish and they stashed them away and they said, you know what? Though all of these may starve, I will eat and I will live another day. Little did they know that that line of thinking was going to cost them their soul in the end. So one lad stepped out in faith. Will you, good sir, will you, good lady, live for the Savior? He died for you, and that without hesitation. Will you live for him? There are no good excuses to ignore the command, to ignore the Great Commission. None of us are up to the task of serving Christ in and of ourselves. We all go out into the world with five loaves and two fish to feed 20,000. We don't have enough to dispense in and of ourselves. But when we obey the command, bring them here to me, the command of the Lord in our text, bring them here to me, there will be blessings enough to feed multitudes. Let's look at some of the characters, and some of them really were characters in the Bible, like us. Moses did not feel up to the task of feeding the multitudes in the wilderness, did he? This man of stammering lips, on the run for murdering an Egyptian, many times rejected by his own people, whom he'd been called to lead out into the wilderness. And yet his prayers, yet his five loaves and his two fish, his prayers preserved the people, and God rained down manna from heaven. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, and we've alluded to this a couple times recently as well, he received the call of God, and he comes to the Lord and he says, woe is me, a man undone, a man of unclean lips. But yet here I am. Send me with what little I have. Peter, impulsive Peter, who said to Jesus, you shall never go to the cross. And Jesus said, Peter, that is not the plan. Get behind me, Satan. You're furthering Satan's plan, not God's. And yet he became the spokesman of Christ Church at Pentecost, having been restored after denying the Lord threefold. John and James, sons of Boanerges. What does that mean? What does that word mean? Boanerges. Sons of thunder. They're called in the scripture. Sons of thunder. They've got a temper problem. They need anger management 101. When they're the cities of Samaria rejecting Jesus, and they walk through, and Jesus said, when you leave, shake off your feet. So they go, they shake off their feet, like they're told. And they say, Lord, now can we fry them? Can we send down fire from heaven? Jesus says, walk with me a little while longer. I'm going to teach you a little bit about love. Matter of fact, John, O ye of great temper, I'm going to teach you a little bit about love. And you're going to write about it. And you're going to be called the apostle of love. God uses ordinary people with struggles, problems, and our character, such as these, like you and I. I'm sure we can relate, we can think of the areas where we fall so short of what it takes to minister God's word. And yet, he uses us. Most of the people God uses are unnamed. We don't know their names. There are many people in Scripture, many people throughout church history, such as this lad. We don't know his name, but thousands were fed as a result of his faith and his generous act of kindness and compassion. God uses ordinary people. All that was required of all of these, and what is required of us, is that we place ourselves at Jesus' service. And Jesus does the rest. Is it the same? Is it such for you? We all have our five loaves and our two fish in a multitude of starving people. When Jesus says, bring them here to me, will you do it or will you not? That's the challenge I'd like you to consider here this morning. Heavenly Father, help us that we might become better servants of you. Thank you for the instruction that you've given us in this book. Thank you for teaching us, for encouraging us, for convicting us of where we need to improve with your grace, that Christ Jesus might be ever more glorified in the midst of the starving multitudes. Let the ministry of each and every one here and in my hearing be effective for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and for the glory of Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.